question is that pleasure is our fundamental need. Why is it that we experience pleasure so easily in material life, but pleasure seems to elude us in spiritual life, in bhakti? Actually, it is not that pleasure eludes us in bhakti, but the pleasure of bhakti does not conform always to our preconception of pleasure. That means, sometimes in bhakti there is pleasure which is very ebullient, you know, very, very effusive. We dance and sing and there's a big smile on the face. And we, the more happy we feel, the higher we jump in kirtans. You know, that is one way of expressing or experiencing the pleasure of bhakti. But that is only one way. The pleasure of bhakti is often not that gross. It is subtle. It's like, you know, when people eat food with a lot of salt, lot of spice, lot of sugar. And if you take a vegetable also, most of the time, we don't even taste the vegetable. Because we are tasting only the additional items which are much more perceivable to the gross taste. So, but if somebody decides, I will not take any spice, I will not take any salt, I will not take any sugar. Then initially, when you eat the vegetable, it's tasteless. What is the point? It's so bland. But once we start eating it, if we habituate ourselves, then this tastes like this. This is a native taste to it, but it's subtle. Now, subtle doesn't mean it's less enjoyable, but it's just a different kind of enjoyment. There is a taste there also, but it's of a different kind. So, the pleasures in material life are very gross. So, they are directly physically perceivable. So, just like the taste of spices and sugars and salts. So, like that, the tastes of material life are very gross. And when we are habituated to that, then in bhakti we feel as if there is no taste. Only when there is some intense spiritual experience we feel there is some taste. Otherwise we feel it is all tasteless. But even at all times there is some taste. If there had been no taste at all, none of us would have been practicing bhakti. We just have given it up and gone back to material life. So we do experience some taste, but it's subtle. And second point is that the anarthas which we have, the impurities that we have, they come in the way of our perceiving the taste of bhakti. Just like Rupa Goswami used the example that a jaundiced tongue cannot taste sugar again juice as sweet. Similarly, Krishna is sweet, but we cannot taste as sweet because, again, going back to the door example, now, suppose there is a beautiful garden outside. The door looks this way. And the other side, there is a whole series of trash, whole lump of trash. Now, the garden is there, the trash is there. Now, whichever side the door opens, that's what I will see. So now, for us, most often, when we practice bhakti, Krishna is always relishable. But when we say that the impurities prevent us from tasting Krishna's sweetness, what that means is the impurities obstruct our experience of Krishna. Because they misdirect our consciousness elsewhere. So if I am coming in the temple and I am taking darshan of Krishna's beautiful deed, but if my consciousness does not focus on Krishna, but I am thinking, in my office this happened and that happened and that happened, then the consciousness is not present. Sukhena brahma samsparsham atyantam sukham ashnute. Sukhena brahma samsparsham. Krishna says that contact with Brahman. Ultimate Brahman is Krishna. Krishna is Param Brahma. So, sukhena brahma samsparsham. In 6.28, he said, what happens? Atyantam sukham ashnuti. That will lead to the ultimate happiness. Supreme happiness. But because of our past conditionings, that contact with Brahman doesn't happen. Although I am taking darshan, but if the door of the mind is only partially open. So that the perception goes in very little. And the contact is very little. That's why the satisfaction is very little. Or another example, see the mother is giving some delicious sweet rice to a child. But the child is so restless, the mother is pouring the sweet rice, the child is moving with mouth here and there. The sweet pours all over the mouth, but nothing goes inside the mouth. Pours all over the face. Then the child will not be able to taste anything as sweet. So it's like, you know, both the mother and the child are inside us only. So we are trying to force our mind to focus, but the mind is not focusing. And we'll see that if we sometimes... say chanting seems very troublesome, very difficult. But if we can push ourselves to chant, to concentrate, gradually a taste starts getting experienced. You start experiencing the taste. So essentially, It is not that bhakti, the pleasure of bhakti is not accessible or not present. It is just that we are too restless right now. So, at our level, there are various ways in which we can curb this restlessness. One is, of course, the intelligence. You know, it's like the mother keeps the child's face straight. Like that, we force the mind. The other is that association of devotees. Now, if you are an association of devotees who are all seriously trying to practice bhakti, then their seriousness also comes on to us. You know, they are also having their minds. Those minds are also troubling them. But still they are focusing, let me also focus. If they can do it, I can also do it. That also helps. And third thing is, apart from that, prayer. Now, we need Krishna's help. Although Krishna gives us the taste, we also need the strength to access the taste. So that's why, in fact, what to speak of praying to Krishna, there are Vaishnava poets who pray to the tongue. Pravartaya tattvam bruvanani paramparastad madhuksharanti vamoda vahani pravartaya pranjalairasmi jivhe namani narayana gocharani. So Kulashekhar Maharaj in the Mukund Mala Sutra says that the holy name tattvam bruvanani paramparastad, that they refer to the supreme absolute truth. So easily it's accessible, that which yogis need to meditate for a long, long time, that absolute truth becomes accessible to the holy name so easily. And further is this, madhuksharantiva muda vahani, that it brings a flow of nectar as if I was drinking honey. And it is so nectarian, but I'm just not able to taste it. So he says, O tongue, I stand in front of you with folded hands. Pravartaya pranjalair asmi jive. O tongue, I stand in front of you. And it is, Nama Ninarayana Gocharani, please chant the holy names. Or we have the same song, famous song, Bhajahure Mana Shinandanandana. Here, what is the devotee doing? The devotee, Krishna, he is actually preaching to the mind. Oh mind, please fix yourself on Krishna. So basically, now that preaching to the mind is also done in the form of prayer to Krishna. It's a song which is praying on the glory, meditating on the glory of bhakti through the medium of a prayer, through the medium of an instruction, through the medium of a discussion. So whichever way it is, we can connect with Krishna, pray to Krishna for his help. And it's quite often these spiritual sound vibrations, certainly the holy name is the most potent spiritual sound vibration, but other associated spiritual sound vibrations which trigger our intelligence, they are very helpful. So if you remember some verses, some songs, some prayers, then if the mind is wandering too much and we don't feel any taste in the holy name, then in some other case, see, the taste of the holy name is purely spiritual. In kirtan, it is spiritual and musical. But in japa, it is only spiritual. That's why kirtan, we can relatively easily absorb in it. But japa, you know, there is no music in it directly. So it becomes much more difficult because japa forces us to come to the spiritual platform. So when we are not able to come to the spiritual platform, at that time, we have to yena kena prakarana mana Krishna vishit. Somehow or the other, access a little bit of the glimpse of the pleasure by which you can convince the mind. There is pleasure here. If I just serve Krishna, there is pleasure. So then, that way we can get a glimpse by, so if you are able to, you are trying to chant and not able to concentrate, then you just calm and maybe sing Hare Krishna Mahamantra in a tune that you like. One or two tunes you sing, that is what calms the mind down. Or if you have some favorite verses, recite those verses. That calms the mind down. So either emotionally or intellectually, give the mind a glimpse of Krishna, an experience of Krishna, and then now perceive. So three main points, that there is bhakti pleasure, but it is subtler. And second, and because of our habituation with gross pleasures, we have become sort of deadened to subtle pleasures at present. Secondly, it is that we are, the pleasure of bhakti is there, Krishna is there, but our consciousness is misdirected. So we don't perceive Krishna. And that's why we need intelligence, we need association, we need prayer, and we also need some way to quickly access the higher taste, or to quickly give the mind an experience of the higher taste, whichever way it works out. And that way, we can perceive more and more as the impurities decrease, then the misdirection will decrease, and then we will be able to relish the taste of bhakti more and more.